Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
So we're just going to pray and jump into today. Father, we want to thank you for everything you've already done, setting an atmosphere, God, for the word to come forth and to get its roots inside of us today and begin to spring up in us and grow in us what you want us to do, have, and be, all again for your glory on this earth. In Jesus' name, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, we are still in the Kingdom of God series. This is part three. How many are okay with this? How many know it might be a little bit challenging, especially to religious spirits? Okay, I think we all agree with that. And just to quickly recap, how many of this is your first Sunday here? You've not been available to any of the Kingdom of God messages we've been preaching? Anybody new? Okay, so I don't have to do hardly any recap then. What religion was Jesus? He was not a religion. He didn't join the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, nothing like that. What religion did Jesus come to establish? He didn't come and establish a religion. What did Jesus come to bring back to the earth? The kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, hence in the prayer. And we're going to get there. And I probably got at least two more on this message because I definitely want to go over the difference between kingdom faith and religious faith. And I want to go over what true authority in the kingdom is about. Because when we understand when our authority through the kingdom, it changes everything around us. And it gets a whole lot better results versus just trying to do it. Give me that old-time religious way. Anyway, all right. Now, real quickly, every kingdom has and is a government.
Right.
Now, I know that's a bad word sometimes in our mouth is the word government, but government is of God when it's godly. Okay, we need to clarify that for sure, okay? So let's just go ahead and put up the first note today. The first note says, a kingdom is a country. You can't have a kingdom without a country. Now, a country consists of land and territories and mountains and oceans and streams. And it's, everybody say the land. So a kingdom is a territory. It's a country into which the king owns and has dominion over that territory. We're going to talk some more about that here in a minute. But how many of you know, and I touched on this just a little bit last week. And again, we have to think in kingdom concept words versus our Americanized words. We also learned that Jesus was not an American. Okay, that's huge, and because we've been blessed, and again, it is a blessing to be an American. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's a good place to applaud. Okay, but again, but because we're Americans, we see Jesus through American eyes, and he's not American. He's kingdom. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He doesn't operate in a constitutional republic like the Americas do. Okay. So again, we have to change our thinking and our language to understand the kingdom of God. Now, so what we have here is heaven's there, but then God created a universe and put a planet in it. And a planet is a country because it has land, territory, and resources of that land. Okay? Make sense? And so in this new country, he colonized it to look like heaven. In the garden, it was heaven on earth, as we called it. Paradise. That was because it was a colonization of that country. Colonization means a king goes into another country and sets up his kingdom over that territory and country. Okay? And like I said, America was not always the United States of America. We were the colonies of Great Britain, where the king was at, who colonized this land. And during that time, we fall under all the king's rules, whether we like it or not. And the king did never, to my knowledge, the king never stepped foot on American soil, but yet he still ruled it because it was of one of his colonies.
Right.
And that's the word, what colonization means. It means it's a different territory than the motherland, but yet it is under the motherland's rule and reign.
Right.
that make sense? Okay, I hope so, because you're going to have to hinge everything on understanding that. So in the kingdom of God, again, it is not like the American system. We get to vote every couple of years, every 4 years on changing leadership locally, state, and even federal. Okay? The kingdom does not operate that way. Okay, yeah, thank God for that. All right? It does not operate in that manner or sense. Go ahead and put up the next note so we'll make sure you understand this. In the kingdom of God, there is only one king, and I got news flash for you and me both. It's not us. Turn to your neighbor and say, you ain't the king. I don't care what you've been told, you're not the king, okay? You're not the king, so based on that, you don't get to decide how the kingdom operates. Now, in America, we have a say-so in kind of how our government operates, or we're supposed to anyway, okay? We try to anyway, and we've got that privilege and blessing, and it is a blessing. It is a blessing, okay? But that's not how the kingdom of God operates. And because sometimes we think, well, if I like that, I'll obey it. If I don't, I'll have civil disobedience, and I'll just buck up to this. You don't do that in a kingdom. Amen. Not if you want to keep your head. Okay? So go ahead and put up the next note real quickly. So Jesus came to restore the kingdom of heaven back to earth. That was his mission. That was not only his mission, that was his message. As we learned in the first of this series, all the way through Matthew 30-something scriptures where Jesus constantly taught and talked about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, over and over. Go back and listen to that if you didn't get that. So I want to go back real quickly. We're going to be in Genesis today. We're going to be in the book of Isaiah, and we're going to end up in the book of Daniel. And a couple of stops in between just to show you some stuff. So everybody say, get my kingdom eyes on. Again, we're reading and studying and learning the Bible from Jesus' main message, which was about his kingdom. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. So the Lord God said to the serpent, this is after he had been deceived them, and now Jesus has found out, God's on the earth, he found out about that. He says, so he addresses Satan, he says, because you have done this, you are cursed more than the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go. That's why they crawl around now, and I hate them things. But anyway, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And then here's the verse I want to get to. And this is God speaking. He says, and I, God Almighty, will put enmity, which is hostility, animosity, and hatred. That's what enmity means. I will put enmity between you and that woman, and between your seed, and to your seed there is Satan's seed. And I don't have time to dig into this, but this is where we get the Nephilim from. Okay, the giants. From the seed of our enemy. Between your seed and her seed. Who's her there? Eve, okay. Out of her is going to come something. Out of her seed, one day something's going to show up in the earth that's going to change everything back. Now watch this. Between you and her seed and between her seed, he, everybody say he. He, this seed of this woman, Eve, he is going to bruise, and I looked up the word bruise, and guess what it means? It means to crush and to bash. Yep. Bam! Amen. I love that. He's going to, let me just read it right. He's going to bruise, crush, and bash your head. And the only shot you're going to get at him is you're going to be able to bruise his heel. Jesus was pierced through the heel. So he got that shot. But Jesus took that cruise, that pierced heel, and he crushed his head when he went into the belly of the earth for 3 days and took back everything from death, hell, and the grave over us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So again, he there is Jesus. Say amen. Amen. Now notice, he didn't say, I'm going to send you a movement. Amen. He says, I'm going to send a person, one person, into this earth, not a movement. I'm not going to send you a religion to do this. I'm going to send a representative from my kingdom into yours. Yeah. Everybody say, it's a person. It's not a religion. And he is going to regain and get back everything that Adam and Eve forfeited out of the original commission back to us to give us the great commission. Amen? So now if you have your Bibles, go to the book of Isaiah chapter 7. We're going to be in chapter 7 and chapter 9 to bring more clarity to this kingdom mindset. That even we know kingdom is all throughout the New Testament because it was Jesus' messages, it was his purpose in life, is to reestablish the Father's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. But all throughout the Old Testament, if you pay attention, the kingdom of God is represented all throughout the Old Testament. That's what it's speaking to. It's prophesying about what's going to happen. And so when we come to the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah had a prophecy here, and in verse 7:14 of Isaiah, very familiar, the Lord himself, who will do this? The Lord God himself will give you a sign. Now, what's this sign going to be here? We know according to the scriptures, but he's going to send a sign. And this sign, behold, is going to be through a virgin. She shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called what? Amen. Everybody say Emmanuel. Amen. Emmanuel. Amen. And of course, if you know, and if you don't know, that's fine. I didn't know it one day in my life till somebody preached it to me. The word Emmanuel means God with us. So in other words, I'm not sending you a religion made up of men's ideas and ideologies and traditions. I'm going to send you a real person from the heavens into the earth. Are you with me? And when he gets into the earth, it's going to be God from the motherland into your land. God is going to be present with you from the kingdom. Changes your whole aspect of the Bible if you understand this. He didn't send a religion to do this. He sent his own son from the kingdom of heaven into the kingdom of earth. With a purpose, amen? So in other words, now pay attention here. Someone is coming into planet earth who is not from planet earth. Jesus was not created in the earth. He was sent from heaven into the earth. Everybody else was created right here on good old Mother Earth. You, I, everybody else since then. There's only been one in the earth that did not come from the earth, and that is God himself in the flesh, Jesus Christ. Adam was created from the earth. Eve was created from the side of the man that was created from the earth. So this something had to come from heaven, from the kingdom, to the earthly realm. That's why religion could not do this. Man's greatest ideology, man's greatest traditions could not do what needed to be done, because what needed to be done had to come from the kingdom of God into the earth, not from the earth. Y'all okay? Now we go down to chapter 9 of Isaiah, very familiar scripture, but when you see it through kingdom eyes, it just radically changes it. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. It's a Christmas story, what we call the Christmas story, but it's really the kingdom story. Amen? Now watch this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is what? Given. Everybody say it's been given. Given. That's the key word, given. And the and the Baptist and the Assembly of God boy and the Church of God boy, the Nazarenite boy. Come on, the Lutheran, the Methodist, the first church of the third church down the road from the last church. Let's make sure we're reading the Bible. There's going to be a child born and given to us, and something's coming upon his shoulders. What is upon his shoulders of this child coming to us? It's a government. Now, it's not like a government that the earth has ever seen. There were many empires before Jesus was born, and the one he was born into was the Roman Empire. Oh, and I got a message. No, I don't. No, I don't. I'm going to go on. He had to wait till the Roman Empire come into being, because that was the first that civilized everybody under what kingdom authority really looks like, with the Roman government. Jesus couldn't come because they wouldn't understand the concepts and the precepts when he started preaching like he preached. That's why he had to wait till there was a government in charge that was the closest thing to a kingdom that the world had ever seen, which was the Roman Empire, one of the greatest. And really, it's the last of humanity's empires it has ever been. That was the last kingdom we've known of as big kingdom. Pay attention. So there's going to be a government that's going to be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Thank you, Jesus. Now he sent a it says, and watch this, a son will be given, and the government, not just another government, but the government of God is coming to earth. The kingdom. Verse 7. And of the increase of his government. Kingdoms are territory and they have government. Now it's kingdom government here. And of his government and peace, watch this, there will be no end. There will be no end upon the throne of David over the over his kingdom. Now watch this, to order it and establish it, everybody say, with judgment and justice. Now watch this, from that time on forward, even forever, now this is the part I love, the zeal. The word zeal means the enthusiasm, the excitement, the joy. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Why is that so important? Guys, let me put it to you in Southern talk. God was just slap happy about doing this. Amen? He couldn't wait. It is his joy, it's his zeal, it's his enthusiasm to bring Jesus and the kingdom of heaven back to earth. Woo! He couldn't wait to get this in your hands. He was excited to sacrifice his son where you and I could be back under the full reign of the kingdom of heaven while we still live on earth. Amen. The zeal of the Lord says, I'll do this for my kids. That's a good God. Somebody turn to you and say, that's a good God. That's a very good God. Now watch this, okay? So some people say now, I'm trying to change my language a little bit to more kingdom language. So when somebody asks me, what do you do? I'm just going to start telling them I work for the government. I'm a government employee. And the truth of that, I am a government employee. I work for the government. Not a government. I work for the government. I'm a government employee. And my government has an assignment and a job for me to do. How many would join me and say, I now work for the government? Yeah. I love it. A bunch of government employees in here. We're going to change that rhetoric, okay? But because you work for the government, everybody say the government. The government absolutely has an assignment. Now, our assignment under the new covenant of Jesus Christ, now the old original covenant is intact. Jesus comes to bring back that original commission that we have rule and reign and dominion over all the earth, right? Right? Okay. So our new commission, which is called the Great Commission, is in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go ahead and put it up. Go therefore and make disciples of all what? Nations, baptizing them in what? The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's it in a nutshell, okay? Now, what I'm about to say, please don't take it wrong. Because you have to start here, but it's like in the American church, we have stopped right there. Just one more soul, or just one more person gets saved. Just one more person gets saved. How many know that's how you do it? Yes. Yeah. But see, that's our mindset in the American church. I wish somebody would get saved today at church. Yes! Woohoo! But what's the purpose? Well, now leave that scripture up there. Yay, they got saved. Okay, now what? Now their life is supposed to produce the kingdom of heaven on earth. My life, your life, in case you didn't know that, welcome to the truth of the message of the Word of God. Your life is supposed to produce the message and the likeness of Jesus Christ in the kingdom of heaven on earth to you and through you. Why? Why not just get saved, sit down, and keep on living? Because that's what religion lets you do. Religion lets you feel real good about going to hell. It'll allow you to do that. You'll feel great till you get there. We're concentrating on winning the next one. And yes, that is that is a biblical mandate. But look at the commission. Make disciples of nations. Not just a person, but nations. We don't even have a nation mentality when it comes to getting people saved for a reason. God had the idea that you're going to get saved, and then everywhere you go in your sphere of influence, on your job, in your school, in your community, with your government officials, you are going to win them to Christ, and you're going to change the government around where the Christians rule and reign. Local, state, federal. If there's as many Christians that claim to be in America which is still right about half of America, claims to be Christians, then we would not have the government we have right now. If the Christians understood the Great Commission, it's not just about one-on-one. It is the one-on-one, but you get that one, and then they get that one, and then they get three more, and then them three get nine, and then that nine gets 18, and that 18 gets 36, and then it multiplies, and before you know it, your school board is now being elected by Christians, and they're putting Christian kingdom people in there. And then when they come and say, your kid can be anything they want, male, female, a goat, a rabbit, a chicken, a cat, or whatever, that Christian board stands up and says, no, this government doesn't operate that way. Amen. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing the nations, the presidents, the vice presidents, the Speaker of the House, the congressmen and women, the Senate, the House, your mayor's office, your governor, lieutenant governor, your dog catcher, your street paver. I don't care what they are supposed, our job is, we should already have them baptized and then put them into that office. And then so goes that, so goes the nations. It's a little bit bigger than what we make it out to be. Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
So that's why he says, now look at the words, not my words. Go therefore, make it. You got to make them disciples, not just put them in office without being a disciple. We got too many of those right now. They claim Christianity, but they go up there and they vote against the Word of God. They go up there and violate the King's mandate. Why? Because they've not been discipled. They've never been a student of the King. And so they go along to get along to get that pocket a little heavier. Mm-hmm. Come on, let's do it. One, two, three. Well, do it all together. Are y'all okay? This even pours over. When you make this connection of the Great Commission, then you see it immediately attach itself into the first church when it was put out to go do this. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, go ahead and put that up. Now again, that was the word of Jesus written in red. Here's some more Jesus written in red. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, now watch this, to me in your Jerusalem, which means your immediate surrounding area. That means you start locally, winning one by one by one by one by one to Christ. In your Jerusalem, and then in your Judea and your Samaria, that means you start branching out around you in the territories around you because you establish your community in the government of God, in the kingdom of God. And once you get that established, then you reach out and you begin to touch the territory and regions around you. And then when you get that taken care of, and to the ends of the whole earth, which means every nation, every tribe, every tongue across the whole planet are to be under the kingship of the Christians on the earth through King Jesus. Can I have a better amen there?
Amen.
This is why I am so radically obsessed with you making sure you do not forfeit your right to ever go into a voting booth and pull that lever. You ain't going to change nothing until America Christians walk in that voting booth and we vote to the best of our ability. Now, I know sometimes you got to vote for the lesser of evil. That's usually where we're at now in America. But you got to do your homework and you go in it. And if you vote because you're in a party, then you need to switch parties. I am not a Democrat. I am not a Republican. I'm not green tea, gray tea, blue tea. I'm not a I work for the government. I will not go in there and pull a lever for someone who wants to put men and women together in marriage as same sex. I will not vote for any candidate that wants to abort a baby while it's in the mother's womb. I will not vote for any candidate who says that you can be whatever you want to be. It doesn't matter what you are. And they can't rule and reign unless we put them in there. So don't ever not go vote. It's too much of a price been paid by our soldiers and for you not to go vote. And God's given you the blessing. I've been in countries where they can't vote. Trust me, you don't want that.
Amen.
You do not want that. Can y'all handle any more? You sure? All right, let's go to the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, chapter 7. Don't put it up yet. Take that down. In Daniel, we get a lot of the stuff that correlates with the book of Revelations. The statue of the gold, the silver, the bronze, and the cast iron, the beast, and a lot of symbolism in that. But again, When you put and understand it through the kingdom of God, you'll see things you've never seen before. And Daniel gets a vision of the kingdom of heaven on earth that we're living in right now. Daniel sees this before it's ever available. Are y'all with me? So go ahead and put up the next note. Daniel saw the kingdom, the kingdom. He saw it before it was ever here. I love this. Now, I usually start with scriptures and give you the Greek or Hebrew definition of something. I want to start with the definition. Because in these two verses, there's three times you're going to hear the word dominion. Everybody say dominion.
Dominion.
So I want to give you the Hebrew meaning of that word first, where when you see it, it'll hopefully light it up a little bit clearer for you. Now, it's a long definition. I put all of it in this time because it all needs to be taught to you this morning. Go ahead and put up the word for dominion. The word for dominion is shultan. Shultan. Or if you want to be impressed, shultan. Did that impress anybody? No, I think I spit on the first three people in a row, though. So it's pronounced shultan. Kind of got a solid H in there, shultan, in the American way of speaking, which we're American, so I'm going to speak to you like that. But this word shultan means this right here. It's an aromatic word, masculine noun, meaning dominion, sovereignty. Now watch this. Most frequently, this noun is used in conjunction with God, showing that he, God, has dominion, shultan, over everything that exists. Everything that exists. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every workplace, every school, every home, your house, every apartment building, every shanty, every mansion. This is what Daniel the prophet saw. He has dominion over everything that exists. Now watch this. His shultan, his dominion, is greater than that of a person's many ways. So we all got our ideas of what it should look like on earth. We got our own ideas about what our life should look like. But he says, this dominion is greater than anything you'll ever come up with. In other words, like we said in the statement, there's one king and you ain't it and I'm not it. And we don't get to dictate how the kingdom of God works even in the earth. The king does. And then the last part of it. His greater is greater dimension in any person's many ways. One being that it is, and say it with me, everlasting dominion that can never be destroyed. And that's the heartbeat of everything going on in the world today that is not understanding the salvation of the Lord's army is they are wanting to destroy Christianity. There's not a war against Muslims. There's not a war against any other except the Jews and the Christians. Anything that has to do with Christ, they must annihilate. Why? Because it threatens their government, their power, and what they think is their authority. But they don't understand. I've already read the back of the book. My government wins. Hallelujah. Now, understanding what this word means now. Listen to Daniel's prophetic word, the vision that he got from the angels. Chapter 7, verse 13 of the book of Daniel, 13 and 14. Daniel says, I was watching in the night vision, so it's a vision that came to him at night, and behold, one like the Son of Man. Stop right there. He is seeing an image, one beholding like the Son of Man. To my knowledge, and I'm not a Bible scholar or nothing, but I'm trying to be, okay? I'm trying to be a kingdom scholar. That's the first mention of Jesus as Son of Man. But if you look all throughout the New Testament, Jesus also refers to himself like that. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? The Son of Man will be delivered unto man and be killed and raised up on the third day. He acknowledged that. So we are definitely talking about Jesus Christ here. The coming, at this time, the coming Messiah and Christ into the earth. Are you with me? So now watch this. I saw one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. Stop there. We get clouds of heaven as this, he's riding this little, like, marshmallow. Or this, like a big cotton ball or something, you know, in these clouds. The clouds of heaven means the angelical force. And all of heaven's attributes and anointings are coming with Jesus. That's the clouds of heaven. It's not what you think, a little poofy white clouds. Study it out. Okay? So he's coming with all the angels and the host of heaven with him. Now watch this. He, Jesus, the Son of Man, came to the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days is returned to God the Father on his throne. Amen. God the Father is the Ancient of Days, okay? Get this in your crawl. And they, the cloud of heaven, the angels and all of heaven's authority, they brought him near before him, the Ancient of Day God. So Jesus is coming, being presented to the Father for his assignment. This is good. If you get it, it's good. If you don't, you can sit there and go, huh? Then to him, the Son of Man, from the Ancient of Days, then to him was given dominion. Shotar. Something that's never going to end, and it is over everything that exists. Now watch this. He was given that. Oh, and glory and a kingdom. He's not just given the territory of a kingdom, he's given the authority and dominion over it. Yay for that. Now watch this. That some of the people there, oh, some of y'all paying attention today, that all, now what does all mean in the Hebrew?
All.
It means all. That all peoples, what's the next word?
Nations.
You win people to affect nations. All peoples, plural, and nations, plural, and languages should serve him. His shotar dominion is an everlasting shotar dominion, which, again, the word backs up the definition now. The word says, and of his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. So when you talk kingdom, you got to understand what the word kingdom means. King's domain. Then you got to learn what that we're a colony. Everybody say colony. Or colonization means. And then you got to understand dominion, which we just give you, okay? And all that works through the government of the kingdom. So these four or five words here, you need to start understanding and process everything through those. Kingdom, colonization, dominion, authority, okay, is one of them, and government. You start seeing the word through those veins, it will light up a huge difference in your life. So he gets this vision of this everlasting kingdom, amen? Amen?
Amen?
But he don't understand it, much like some people today, we don't understand it in full. And I have not arrived to the fullness, okay? I'm still learning too. But everything I'm learning now that I know, I'm going to share.
Amen.
Okay? I don't claim to know it all. But what I do know, and I've tried out, and I've seen, and I've studied for years, that's why I'm just now preaching this message. Because I want to share everything I can with you. So now we transition to where the angel explains the vision to Daniel. How many know, thank God for some explaining angels? But now, when the angel explains it to Daniel, you're going to see yourself injected into this vision. Are you ready to see you? And where we're at in today's time. Verse 16 of Daniel chapter 7, 16 through 18. So I approached one of those standing beside the throne. That was the angel, the host of the clouds that brought him in. And asked him what it all meant. I love that. That's just real. What does this mean, dude? Okay, just like one of us. And he, talking about that angel, explained it to me like this. Verse 17. Now he had the vision of the four beasts before this. These four huge beasts represent, everybody say, four kingdoms, that will what?
Arise,
say it with me, from the earth. Leave that up there. What's the importance of this? These kingdoms that he had saw before he saw this last kingdom that we're talking about here, you know, the bronze, the clay, the gold, whatever, and the cast iron. Now, a lot of different scholars argue over that. I'm not a scholar to argue over that. Some say, well, it was the Ottoman Empire. Then it was the Babylonian Empire. The Roman Empire was probably the last one they were talking about until we get to the kingdom empire that we're living in. He didn't see. He saw that, but before then, he saw these four different kingdoms. Now, watch this. Kingdoms that will arise from the earth. Now, what separates what I'm talking about now is, again, just like Jesus, Everybody else came from the earth. The kingdom of heaven did not come from the earth. It was sent to the earth. This is yes. Daniel's seeing these four beasts of this the kingdoms in the earth that has risen up. And a lot of them were very traditional and religious. And he's saying, but there's coming one that's over all of them that cannot be destroyed, and it's the kingdom of God coming to earth. Some of y'all is roasting your rheostats. I can see it. But again, the key word here is these kingdoms came from the earth. We're living in a kingdom that didn't come from the earth, but it came from heaven to the earth, just like Jesus. Y'all okay? Now, this ain't going to be in your notes, but if you'll make a note of John 18:36, Jesus was before Pontius Pilate about to be crucified. Y'all remember the story? Now watch this. When Jesus went before all the judges, and as a matter of fact, if you look it up and study it, Jesus went through six trials before he finally got the death sentence. Within 20-something hours, six different appeared before six different courts or people of authority who thought they had authority. He said nothing to defend himself until he got to the one that was actually over everything. He didn't justify none of himself to the religious leaders. They was questioning him. He said nothing. Jesus gets before Pontius Pilate, the ruler and governor of the territory that he was in for Rome. And the Pilate is questioning him. And he says, they say you're a king. Are you a king? And now Jesus is talking because he finally got someone that can understand what he's going to say. Pilate says to him, do you not understand? I have the power to release your life or to take your life. And Jesus had had enough of cocky. You don't threaten Jesus. And it's not in your notes, but if you look in John chapter 18, verse 36, you get a reply from Jesus here. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. It didn't rise from this world. It didn't come from this world. I'm of another kingdom you don't even know. By the way, your kingdom's already over. Jesus knew the future so much, it was actually his past. He knew Rome was going to fall. They didn't even know it at the time. They thought they were going to last forever. Yeah. Don't mess with Jesus. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, and so that I should not be delivered to the Jews, My soldiers would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here. Can you get that in your crawl today? Jesus was not from the earth. He was to the earth. The kingdom is not from the earth. It's not of the earth. It's from the kingdom. You get this? It'll change everything. Touch your neighbor and ask them if they're all right. Now here we come into the scene, in the vision and the explanation. Remember, this is the meaning of the vision. Verse 18. But in the end, the holy people of the Most High will be given the kingdom. There you are. There we are in present day. Yeah. Some of y'all. Oh, and by the way, and they will rule forever and ever. Yeah, well, leave that up there a minute. But in the end, the holy people, in other words, some translations put it as the saints of the Most High, will be given. It hadn't been given at this point. Will be given what? Read it for yourself. Will be given the kingdom. Not a kingdom, the kingdom. And they will rule forever and ever. And I'm going to be covering this maybe in the next week. Do you remember the scripture where it says, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom? He declares that out of his own mouth. It is my Father's pleasure. It's his zeal. It's his passion to give you his kingdom. Not when you get over there, you'll be there. He needs you to have it down here to conquer evil. Amen. But the word here a while ago, given. Now we know, and the religious church has no problem saying Jesus was given as a sacrifice where we could go to heaven. Say amen. And we'll even say, but you had to receive that which was given in order to make it there. In other words, you had to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, repent of your sins, turn from your evil ways, ask Jesus to come into your heart, receive him, and you shall be saved, right? Religion even teaches us that. But do you know for his kingdom, he says, I'm giving you a kingdom, but you have to receive it. You got to receive the kingdom. It is there for your having and taking, and it is the Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. But he don't just go, I'm going to give you this whether you like it or not. Poof. He didn't walk up to you and say, you're going to get saved and have nothing to do about it. Poof. We wouldn't even think like that. But when it comes to the kingdom, no, we got to earn it. We got to do all this. No, you got to receive it just like you did Jesus. As a matter of fact, I don't think you can really understand Jesus without receiving his kingdom anyway. Now, you can be saved. If you've got Jesus, you've repented of your sins, you get to go to heaven. But while we live on earth, heaven wants to come to you. To affect everything around you, your life, the lives around you, generational, cities, communities, nations. But you got to possess and you got to receive what he's given you. And I think you know by now, he did not bring or give you a religion. He didn't have a religion. He didn't bring a religion. He didn't establish a religion. So therefore, he's not giving you another religious organization. He's given you the kingdom. Put up the last notes. There are two kingdoms on earth right now. Two kingdoms exist on earth. And the whole earth operates under one of these two kingdoms. Now, we know that nations have kings, Saudi Arabia, other places like that. They still have a king's thing and the king and the prince crown and all that stuff. You know, if I went to Saudi Arabia and preached this message, they would get it like that. Why? Because they're under a kingdom. But this message, I would be better off probably. No, I wouldn't. This is why you don't hear it in America, because it doesn't jive with America's mentality. And so we've got to preach in order to fill our pews up and get paid. We got to preach what you want to hear. That's why I don't, seriously, there was only two places I would have let my daughter go to Bible college. And she's at one of them. The other one's in Colorado. I'm not going to call it by name, but that's the only two I trust. But do you know, in neither one of them, to my knowledge, none of them teaches the kingdom. I don't know of any seminary, four-year seminary, that you even have a course on the kingdom of God. Now, they teach you everything else and how it flows and salvation and anointing and the spiritual gifts and things like that. Yay, I mean, all that's Bible too. But I think we've discovered over these last 3 weeks, Jesus came to bring a kingdom. And if it was his message, I think the church ought to have that message somewhere in it sometime. I really do. Again, I haven't arrived, y'all, but I'm on my way. And I think you know what these kingdoms are on earth that everybody operates under. Saudi Arabia, all the kings and different dictators, they operate under either, number one, the kingdom of darkness, or number two, the kingdom of God. That's the only two kingdoms there are. You can walk in the kingdom of darkness, or you can walk with the kingdom of God, God of heaven, God of light, God of life. And today... Go ahead and put it up. Which one are you in? Because see, whether you understand it or not, or whether you even agree, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter if you even like it. You're in and operating under one of these two kingdoms right now. Well, I don't like that. Doesn't matter. Do you see how religions and kingdom are separate now? Because when I tell you there's only two kingdoms, that's Bible. There's the kingdom of darkness with the prince of darkness over it. Not a king, but the prince of darkness. And the prince of darkness is not Ozzy Osbourne.
That's right.
And there's the kingdom of God who has the king of kings.
Amen.
And you're operating under one of them, whether you like it or not. Are you telling me if I'm not saved, I'm operating from the kingdom of darkness? Yes.
That's right.
It's exactly what the Bible says. But see, See, religion lets you be your own God based on what you feel and want to do. But in the kingdom, it's the king. It's his way, and there ain't no other way. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody's coming unto the Father except through the king. See, in the kingdom, you don't get your way. You become God's way. You become your king's way. Every territory that is colonized takes on the attribution, acts, and gifts, and all the nature of the kingdom that colonized it. You start to look like them, you talk like them, you drive on whatever side of the road they drive on. In certain places, you get a spot-a-te. You get a spot-a-te, and it's hot. Why? Because that's the culture of the kingdom that settled that nation. Are y'all okay? Stand to your feet today. The kingdom of God is totally God. Everybody say totally God. It's God's way all the time. And when you come into the kingdom, it's not like I'm a slave. It's just I'm a citizen. The governments that operate out from under the kingdom of God, governmental structure wants you to be, they don't want citizens, they want slaves. They want subjects. You are subject to them no matter what you want to do. But in a kingdom, a true kingdom like God has, you become a citizen with kingdom rights, kingdom authority, and kingdom privileges. And so today, just bow your heads with me real quickly. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, Savior, and King, I will guarantee you, number one, you cannot pay for your own sins. You don't have the time, the ability, or the wherewithal to pay for your sins. But Jesus Christ, not only he did. You cannot save yourself, so therefore you need a Savior. I tell you this all the time. If there were other ways, I promise you I'd be the first one to tell you. You can do it like this. Well, you can do it like this. Well, we have option A, B, C, D, E. I'd tell you what all the options were. But there's only one way for you to live the life that you were meant to live here on earth and to be promised the eternal life in heaven, and that is through accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Not in a religious format. I don't want you to become religious. I want you to become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven while you're still here on earth. And that's what we call being saved, getting born again. So if this morning, if you've never done that with no strings attached, you will not join church today. You will not be religious today. You will simply become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven and a child of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if that's you and you're ready to make that walk with God, just lift your hand up and say, today's my day. Anyone in the house? All right, maybe online, whatever. How many would you say today, I'm living beneath my privilege? And I want to get a bigger vision of the kingdom. I want to begin to see cities and states and countries and nations in my prayer show up. And I want God to begin to release to me my strategy to win those around me in my Jerusalem first. And not just win them, but watch them go through discipleship where they learn it's not my will be done, but God's will be done in my life. That's what true disciples is. A student takes on the teacher's attributes, qualities, and characters. So, Father, would you disciple what those that say we're already yours? Would you disciple us, God? Would you we're created in your image. So, Lord, let us start acting like the image and the posture of God in the world today. And again, not our will, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And let us walk in it, Father. And let the joy of the Lord be our strength. Woo! Thank you, Father. Lord, we love you and we declare these things over this house. And again, Father, I pray the Holy Spirit will take this message and take it further than I could probably do it justice today, because I know it's difficult sometimes to hear a message like this. But my friends, that's why I'm using so much scriptures. God wants us to see the message, the call, and the reason Jesus had to come. And it's to give you everything the Father let him die for you to have. And it is a privilege to be a child of God. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Thank you for choosing me to be a part right here in Eva, Alabama, of what you're doing, reaching out literally across the ocean this morning and with this message this week. And Lord, let it have an endless impact wherever it may be heard. again, all that it may gather glory for you in your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Say this when you say, Jesus, I love you. Thank you for loving me. I bless my tithe and offering. And the 90% you allow me to keep, may it be a good steward of it. May it go further. And I declare favor over it because I'm faithful with everything. Lord, I love you again. And I bless your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can you give him praise in this house? Amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.